Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Well, the people are very split on whether or not Seth would like the movie Draft Day. We'll get to the text page in just a second.
I thought they were split on my opinion about toes out on deadlift or squat. That's a very divisive topic. So I figured the text line would have said, Seth, what the hell are you talking about?
I did get a couple texts of people that are now a little self-conscious about their duck feet after we talked about it. But don't be.
I was trying to build them up.
Yeah.
I was telling them that they're a disenfranchised class. They need to stand up for themselves on their duck feet instead of having me do it for them, Dan.
I don't think they realized they were disenfranchised. I think they're like, we were? Now I have to be
really?
Mad
they didn't
about
realize
this.
People were talking about them?
Yeah. They admire and are thankful, a lot of gratitude that you are sticking up for them. But yes, the duck-feeted people. Yeah, people are talking.
I feel like, definitely with prospects, with offensive line, we were talking about Donovan Jackson, who's kind of duck-footed. They'll say slew-footed, too. That's another one.
Oh.
I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it's somehow bigoted. It's probably it's probably rooted in something. They act like, he's kind of duck-footed.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, so what's the drawback? You know, looks like a duck when he walks. Like, all right, but... Tell me how that affects us, because he looks like a duck, and ducks can't run for crap.
You know, those people. Yeah, basically. Pretty much. All right, so Roosh Williams put up a poll. Roosh does a lot of basketball content online, Rockets-related stuff, and put up a poll. And Seth, I don't know if you've looked at this poll yet, but it's this particular poll, it's not so much about the results.
Yeah.
It's about reveling in the fact that we no longer live in this era when these things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've looked at the options because you had written them down, but I didn't. I wanted to guess on
who's winning the poll.
Which one won it. Yeah.
All right, so here are the options. And the question is, what is the funniest moment of the Rockets rebuild? And here are the four choices. And there's at least one or two of these. I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot that happened. Kevin Porter Jr. leaving at halftime of a game. Like, just not, I went and read the article on this. He was not happy with the fact that John Lucas got up in his face.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But that's what John Lucas does. He gets up in people's faces. So Kevin Porter Jr. just get up and out of there. He just left Toyota Center at halftime of a game.
Just left the game.
Just left. Yeah. Just completely left the arena. Yeah. So that's choice number one. Man, that reminded me of Christian Wood, too, because I remember those two got in trouble kind of together at about that time. Kevin Porter Jr. Christian Wood might be my least favorite Rocket player of all time. I hated Christian Wood.
They were both suspended the same day.
Yeah.
And it was around the same game, was it not?
It was. I think Christian Wood probably, I don't know, may have gotten into an argument with somebody or whatever. Conduct detrimental is what they usually call
something. He pouted over Silas's punishment for him failing to show up for the team's daily COVID testing, which caused the team's shoot around to be delayed.
Okay.
So apparently he was punished somehow he was benched, and then he pouted, and then later, like, he didn't want to check into the game when Silas called.
That's what it was.
He was reluctant to even go into the game.
Yep.
So you had two guys in one game just either leave the facility or be reluctant to play.
Yes.
Hey, Christian Wood only plays when Christian Wood's ready to play.
Silas did not command the room, man. He just did not. That's number one. Number two, speaking of Steven Silas, and we've got the audio for this. After a loss, a 140-120 loss to the Sacramento Kings on February 6, 2023, this was Steven Silas in the postgame.
They're not giving the effort on the defensive end. They're not getting after it like they're supposed to. They're not getting into their man and fighting over and helping each other. They're not doing what they're supposed to do.
Okay, at that point, we were 3 years into the Steven Silas era. And
it just felt way too much. Like, man, Silas is trying to do something. That
where was this 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That kind of fire.
When it didn't, in the moment, it didn't die. Was there a single person that believed that Paul Silas was genuinely that angry or perturbed? I think to his credit, he's even Steven, which is an admirable thing to be.
Yes.
So don't try to, it was like, you know, it was almost like Brian Kelly has that D-bag side to him. But it was obvious that one time last year when he pounded the table that, like, all right, Brian Kelly, like, yep, this is contrived. You're going a little too far.
Very much so. Number three, funniest moments of the Rockets rebuild. Bruno Fernando starting a game, the season opener in Steven Silas's last year. Bruno Fernando started at center over Alperen Şengün.
Well, you got to see what you got in him.
Şengün's second year.
Yeah.
Boy, that got Rocket fans, especially Şengün fans, pissed on opening night that year. Like, this is
with Şengün, it's always interesting to try to gauge exactly what the entire fan base feels about anything, because there's a national pride side to it of the Turkish fans that are gonna go in hard, and
you're
always like, okay, well, wait a second, all right, which part of this is the Turkish people sticking up for a countryman versus the average Rockets fan.
Yep. Yeah. Number four on the list, Roosh just puts Gary Bird. Remember Garrison Matthews, that stretch he had where he was, Craig Ackerman would scream, Gary Bird. He'd hit a three-pointer, and turns out Garrison Matthews. And he got a contract, like, not a big one, but a little, you know, like a decent amount of money. Money that smart with, you should be okay.
All right, so if I have to vote between these four, The one that sticks the most out in my mind was the Porter Jr. leaving the game at halftime.
Okay.
But I'm wondering if, like, it's framed, what was the funniest moment?
Funniest moment, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so I wonder if people answer it that way, they probably... The Porter Jr. was the moment where it felt like, what the hell are we doing
well,
here?
And that was early on. That was like a year before all this other stuff too. Yeah, that
right,
was, the Porter Jr. thing was not funny. That was like, okay, this thing's a mess. Like, this is a dumpster fire right now.
I'm gonna say the funniest one was just the visual for me of Silas banging the table in frustration.
Yes.
I feel bad because I like him a lot. It's just it was a mismatch.
He was brought in to coach James Harden and Russell Westbrook, and he winds up coaching Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün and Gary Bird. Yeah. All right, Seth was correct. Now, do you care to guess the percentage?
Yeah, it was in a field of four. That's a difficult one.
Yep.
I'm gonna guess that Silas won pretty healthily, though. So I'll say 43%.
36%.
Okay, so, no ding there.
No ding. In fact, you get a buzz for that. Sorry,
what was the lowest?
The lowest was Gary Bird, and if I had to guess, if I thought long enough, I could probably find one funnier than that. Gary Bird got 11%. KPJ leaving at halftime, 21%. It was really close between Silas banging the table and Bruno Fernando starting at center in the opener in 2022-23 over Alperen Şengün. But 35%. 35% for Steven Silas.
The weakness of Gary Bird is that it's not a specific moment. So its weakness as an option here was, instead of a specific moment, it was the Gary Bird era that people found funny.
Yep. So there you go. The funniest. Now, you ask an interesting question. What if we were to put together the same poll for the Texans? This is a good text page question. if you were putting that same poll together, because the Texans and the Rockets, as we pointed out many times, kind of have run in tandem with their rebuilds here, from the marquee player on the team demanding a trade on in the same week to the hiring of various coaches along the way where we're like, all right, this ain't going to work out, to the hiring of two coaches now who I think people feel very bullish on, to finding your franchise, your future sort of foundational guys for both teams. Very similar, but the if you had to put this same poll together, funniest moments of the Texans rebuild.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if this would make the cut as an option, because it's not, again, it's not really a poignant moment or one that a lot of people even heard, but for me, the toughest one for me was, and like the most ridiculous one, was at the end of David Culley's lone season with the Texans. He was on with Mark and John, and Mark or John asked him, like, hey, what was something you learned this year? And he said, this is a man who had been in the NFL for multiple decades, remember. He said he learned that sometimes when things aren't going well offensively, you can speed up the tempo to get things moving. And it was like, it was a brand new concept to him that it had never been. And I'm like, this is what this guy was coaching. He was a head coach of an NFL team for an entire year. And it wasn't just that, like, oh, wow, we should have been utilizing that more effectively or whatever. It was a brand new and novel concept to him that teams might go up-tempo to try to get things going.
Seth.
It would be like a basketball coach, 55, 60 years old, saying, hey, you know what? Sometimes when things aren't going well, just try to get some layups.
Yeah,
or you know,
yeah,
like I, you know what? I'd never heard that
or
before.
You know what? We decided sometimes we need to slow the other team down. You can go zone. I didn't know you could go zone. You play zone defense. Here's the scary thing about that. You know what his title was with the Ravens the year before he got the Texans head coaching job?
His assistant head coach and pass game coordinator.
Assistant head coach and passing game coordinator. Yeah, and wide receivers coach. He was the passing game coordinator.
For a team that was just abysmal at passing.
Well, but you would think a passing game coordinator would know something about changing tempos.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's, I would say, look, if I had to put this poll together for the Texans, you could go almost all Culley on that, like for the, like the most, the funniest moments of the, we're talking funniest moments of the Texans rebuild. I would say when David Culley said that
I took this job simply because there's 32 of these in this league.
Ben was on it, man. I didn't even have to say anything to Ben.
That was
because we were at a point with the Texans that, it was like we were so far down the rabbit hole of absurdity at that point.
Yeah.
That like all you could do about the Culley, we knew we were in for a rebuild, you know, so all you could do was laugh. And you knew, you could tell from two questions in that David Culley was not going to be the head coach of this team when it turned around at some point, you know.
That was I remember that very well, and I would have to vote for that one because it was also my favorite moment in the history of me doing radio. Was when the analogy I made was, it's like telling your wife that you married her because she has all the holes you like. Yeah, that's a...
Yes.
You got...
Yeah. She a female. Why'd you marry her? She a female. Yeah.
She a female, and she accepted the offer. Mm-hmm. So, good enough for me.
Yep.
Happy Valentine's Day.
If I didn't want to pile on David Culley, I would say when Lovie Smith started to get chippy with the media during his 1 year there, you know, like when he started to get a little surly. Although every time Lovie Smith would say divorce is a good thing, I got a good chuckle out of that, I would say. Those could all be
tied. He said it so often.
Yeah.
It was a...
Well, there are a lot of divorces, Seth.
I know, but it was. It felt like we were getting at least one or two a week.
You're right.
It was like the fact that there was reason to say it as often as he did, but that was also his go-to analogy. It wasn't just like once or twice or anything. It was like, oh no, this is written up on my my wall as rules to live by. Yeah.
I would say divorce is a good thing.
Yes, I would say Deshaun playing safety at practice
during a walkthrough
with the shower cap on.
Yeah.
That was good. Text in some entries for that one. The funniest moments of the Texans rebuild. We can relive this now because we're in a much better place. All right. Here's some text about you watching the movie Draft Day.
And whether I'll like it or not?
Whether you'll like it or not. Okay. Let's see. Seth will hate Draft Day, all exclamation points. Draft Day is a must watch. Watched it yesterday. Yes, Seth, do it. Now, that's encouraging somebody to do it. That's not saying whether or not Seth will like it or not.
I think there's a lot of people that admit that it's an awful movie, and yet they still love
There's nobody that says it makes sense. That's the thing. There's nobody that says this is a great depiction of what Draft Day is.
Okay, you know what? I just watched the Bob Dylan movie, A Complete Unknown. And the whole thing, I know some people had hang-ups with that movie because it's not historically accurate. I've seen people say that it's more like you got to look at it like an impressionist painting. It's not a depiction of reality, but it captures the spirit of Bob Dylan really well.
Yeah,
I liked that. I really liked that movie, despite even as I've watched so many damn Bob Dylan documentaries, I was annoying myself as I went through it and being like, well, that didn't actually happen that way. But I did enjoy the movie.
Okay.
So if I can look at Draft Day is an impressionist painting.
Yeah.
And that, okay, there's truths here.
Yeah.
Even though the facts and even though the details might be a little screwy, that it's still a good movie. I'll see if I can watch it through that filter.
The thing with Draft Day is there's just a few things where you go, that would never happen. That it's not done that way. But there's enough, you're right, there's enough of it where it's still enjoyable. For people who like it, that's a great, I think the people who like it look at it the way you look at that Dylan movie. I think that's a good analogy. I watch Draft Day. These are texts. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I watch it every week before the draft. I think Seth will both love and hate it.
Yeah.
Now, Garrett, the web guy, I think captured it perfectly, who texts us frequently during the show. Loyal listener, former coworker. We love Garrett. I think this is perfect. He says, Seth is going to hate that he was entertained by Draft Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'd be like a guilty pleasure.
It's a total guilty pleasure, dude. It is a guilty. It is as guilty a pleasure as there is movie-wise. Text message, I love that movie. It's so absurd. And they make Jacksonville and their new GM look so dumb. That is true. There's a hotshot young GM that works for the Jags in that movie, Seth.
Could it be like the Magnificent Gladstone?
This guy, Matt, the Magnificent Gladstone at least appears to be empirically intelligent.
Yeah.
This kid they hired in Jacksonville in the movie is a nervous dope. It's
right,
awesome.
I'm gonna watch Draft Day.
Okay.
I'll give a review on Monday.
Okay.
And I'll also do a TikTok movie review.
Okay, good.
That's what I want to be in life, really. That's what I dream of being when I grow up, is a TikTok movie reviewer. So I'll do one of Draft Day. It'll be a good transition. I'll do sports movies at first, and then I'll move into arcane art films.
Yes. It'll be good because at least... And I think you get the analogies already. Like, if you've heard enough people make the analogies, then you just know, having not even watched the movie. But you'll understand about the legend of Bo Callahan now. And
I will. Yeah, no, I vaguely get it. But,
You watch the movie. Now, it does get a little uncomfortable because you know who plays Bo Callahan's agent in the movie? Diddy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, too. Watching it now, after a lot of things have happened with the actors in the movie. Like Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll tell you what, because of her credit card commercials, she kind of annoys me now.
Okay.
I'm tired of seeing her on those, are they Capital One commercials?
Capital
Whatever
One.
They are.
Yeah, Capital One.
Yeah. She kind of gets on my nerves.
Okay.
So I'll try to set all that aside and just remember her as I once knew her at the time, Ben Affleck's lovely soon-to-be ex-bride.
That's right. That's right.
They got divorced pretty soon after that.
After that, they did, 2014, 2015 in there. All right, Payne and Pendergast. All right, let's do this. Five Reasons I Hate You, Duke Hoops. We got help yesterday from this one on former North Carolina from former North Carolina Tar Heel, Brendan Haywood. So we will we'll play his five reasons, and we got five more. Let's get our hate on for Duke for our Cougs this weekend. We'll do that coming up next.